Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. And podcasts of prior shows are available on both those sites. Today is January 18th, 2017. The markets were mixed today, but pretty flat. The Dow closing down at 19,804. The NASDAQ up at 55.55. And the S&P up at 22.71. We are talking about the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation tonight, but not just the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation, but about ways to contribute in our community, ways that the foundation is benefiting our community, and lots of new information that's going to be coming up this year that's worth listening to. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us, and we'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic or through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com. The number is 610-758-8810, and you can talk live with us on air. Or if you're not comfortable doing that, just give your question to Lori. She'll draw it. Yeah, she'll draw pretty pictures. She'll write the question down and she'll bring it into the studio. So that number is 610-758-8810. And what's so worthwhile tonight is talking about all the various options in charitable giving. And while we are at the beginning of the year in January 2017, planning is essential, and planning is especially essential this year with charitable giving. And we're going to tell you lots of reasons why and all the ways that it benefits our community. So again, 610-758-8810. So as I mentioned, we are discussing the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation in particular tonight, and my guest this evening is Erica Riddle Petrozelli. She's the Director of Donor Services for the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation, and she's going to discuss what a community foundation is, what it means in our community, and their 50th anniversary plans. Erica joined the staff of the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation in 2014, and as the Director of Donor Services, she focuses on maintaining and expanding philanthropic relationships with the foundation. Prior to joining the foundation, Erica was Vice President of Investor Relations at Magnitude Capital, LLC, a fund of hedge funds based in New York City. In this role, she was responsible for client service and content management for the firm's global investor base. Prior to joining Magnitude, Erica was a senior audit associate in the banking and capital markets sector at PricewaterhouseCoopers, LLP. Erica is a member of the Junior League of the Lehigh Valley and focuses her personal philanthropy on women and children. A Bethlehem native, she graduated from Lehigh University with a major in accounting. She was awarded the President's Scholarship and went on to earn her master's in the accounting and information analysis. Did I mention that she was a CPA? Hi, Erica. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Good evening.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. In the past, we've had Bernie Story on, and we all love Bernie, and the people in the Lehigh Valley love Bernie as well.
That
so
is true.
He's very well known. But I have to tell you, Erica, I've been to a couple events, and guess what? They all know you, too. I say,
Thank you for that.
You know Erica Riddle Petrozelli? Oh, yeah, Erica. So you are making your presence known, doing a good job for the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation, and we appreciate that. So can we start talking about first a little bit about the background about what a community foundation is, because some people might not understand that. And then in particular, what is the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation?
Sure. So in its simplest form, a community foundation is a community endowment or a permanent source of funding for the widest range of community needs. So community foundations exist across the country. There are hundreds of them, and some even international for that matter. And together, they represent billions of dollars in charitable assets, and likewise, community foundations make billions of dollars in grants every year to their region. So the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation is focused on Northampton and Lehigh counties and serving the people and the needs of these two counties.
I that's a great explanation. And one comment I'll make is I know quite often sometimes people might think, oh, the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation, I might want to do something, but I have some other charities that I want to help as well that might not be in the Lehigh Valley. So just because you have the name Lehigh Valley Community Foundation, that doesn't preclude donors from working with you if they have some other interest across the country.
Right.
So we can make
grants to any 501c3 public charity anywhere in the United States. So about 3/4 of the grant dollars do stay here in the Lehigh Valley, but you know, the rest of Pennsylvania and the rest of the country is perfectly acceptable.
Wonderful, yeah. Wonderful. So I don't want anyone to feel limited.
Oh, yeah, not at all.
So I want to talk more eventually as we go through the show about the ways to give, et cetera. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I also want to mention that it's your 50th anniversary this year. And if you could give a little history of the foundation and how it has grown over the over 50 years. Mm-hmm. I recently attended like a kickoff event.
That's right.
Which was very impressive, very exciting.
Thank you.
And it's just goes to show the vibrance of the Lehigh Valley and all that it can do to hear that story. So can you share that a little bit?
Yeah, too? So we were founded 50 years ago, so in 1967, actually at the celebration of the city of Bethlehem's 225th anniversary. So the funds available after that celebration was put aside to form the community endowment for the city of Bethlehem, and that was the Bethlehem Area Foundation. In our early beginnings, we functioned just serving Bethlehem needs. And then in 1992, we were expanded to the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation to serve the entire region. And so this year, Bethlehem celebrated the 275th anniversary. And likewise, now we are celebrating our 50th anniversary.
Great. And you're going to have some exciting events and different projects coming up. So we're going to talk about that as we go through the show as well. I want to remind people the phone number if you have questions, 610-758-8810. So with these special events coming up, we are going to talk about that as we go through the show, and that could benefit some people in the community. So I want to make sure that the folks are listening and stay tuned for the whole hour. But let's talk about why the Community Foundation might be an option for those who are charitably inclined as mm-hmm. well. Like, why would someone look to make donations to a community foundation versus, you know, just doing it on their
yeah,
own?
Yeah, so we are a 501c3 public charity, so we offer the same tax advantages that any other public charity would offer. But we're here to connect those with resources, so the donors, to the causes that matter to them in the community. And so through the Community Foundation, individual charitable funds can be established in a donor's name. And that is essentially a personal giving vehicle or a personal charitable account for the individual to make grants to nonprofits in the community. And we can help donors do that. Nationally, community foundations are recognized for three characteristics that living donors often quote as the reason they work with their community foundation. And the first is the idea of personalized service. So you can call me, you can call Bernie on the telephone, you can talk about the community, you can talk about what you want to do for your charitable giving, and we're going to be able to help you out. The second is the community knowledge. So again, we're right here in the Lehigh Valley. We're present. We're located in downtown Allentown. Bernie has over 100 meetings with nonprofits every year, learning about the needs of the Northampton and Lehigh counties and who's doing good work. And so we're able to advise donors if needed. And the third is the community leadership aspect. So the involvement in the community, serving on various boards, the diversity of our own board, and having a seat at the table talking about various issues and how to solve them in the Lehigh Valley.
Seat at the table. I'm taking notes. So this is great, Erica. Folks, we're at our first break. If you have questions about the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation, about your charitable intent and ways that you can be charitable, we hope to address those questions tonight, but we welcome your calls live or off air, whatever you're more comfortable doing, but we are live in the studio, and the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. I have with me this evening Erica Riddle Petrozelli, Director of Donor Services for the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. We're talking about the presence of the foundation in our community, and we hope to cover various ways that folks can get involved and work with the Community Foundation, as well as understanding your own charitable giving options, and hopefully we'll kind of sprinkle some of those options in as we go through the hour. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. I just want to mention that we are coming up in tax season. This is the time to talk to your tax preparer about some charitable giving options you might have. There are ways, different ways that folks can do that. You can do cash contributions. We always want receipts, but you can do appreciated securities. You could do qualified charitable distributions from IRAs, in-kind contributions. So there's a various ways to donate. Different ones may be more beneficial for you than others. It is something that is personal. And there are different amounts that you can do. Sometimes people might want to do a large donation, and a foundation is a great way to do that. So hopefully we're going to talk about some of those ideas as we go through the hour. The phone number again is 610-758-8810. Erica had just mentioned that a community foundation has three tenants, is that what you had said? Community foundations across the country. Mm-hmm. One is personalized service. You're there. People, if they have questions about what should I do, what are my options, you guys are available to talk about that. Mm-hmm. It's not just about the options, but it could be about the organizations themselves. So can we talk about that just for a minute? Because when we say community foundation, you mentioned you do have community knowledge. And you had said something that I thought was quite interesting. You said Bernie meets with, has about 100 meetings a year. He's meeting with different nonprofits, and who's doing the good work? Mm-hmm. I thought that was an interesting comment. So the foundation is out there not just addressing charities that people are interested in donating to, because I could walk in and I could say, hey, Erica, I love the American Heart Association. I want to make a big donation to them. Mm-hmm. But I might also walk in and say, you know, I want to do something for education.
Right.
But I'm not sure where to go. Mm-hmm. So tell me how you guys help with that.
Right. So we will take what causes matter to you, and we can provide suggestions of individual organizations, primarily locally, that are working in that specific area. And we can present options and really focus on what it is that's important to you. We actually have something locally that we call, it's called Your Heart, Our Head. And So it's taking really what matters to you, what you love, what you care about, and then using our knowledge and our due diligence to really make an informed decision about your giving and make the most impact. So an example is just last week I met with a donor who is really passionate about animal rights, particularly cats in the area. And so I presented actually a list of about 20 different organizations that we are aware of that are protecting the cats of the Lehigh Valley. And he's making sizable grants to 14 of them so that everyone can know that the cats are going to be very well taken care of. But we presented a lot of organizations that were also very under the radar. And so the ones that you wouldn't exactly think of or know about. And so he's able to make those grants from his fund and really care for the animals that he cares about in an effective way.
And those particular organizations that are under the radar may not have any other way of getting that word out. So they're on your radar.
Right.
So how do if there are organizers out mm-hmm. there or charitable organizations that are small, because mm-hmm. you can have a nonprofit, start one yourself, and if they want to have a meeting with Bernie, how does that work? Can you go on the website and say, hey, I have a nonprofit? Because you also have to be careful of what you're vetting, I assume.
Right. And we only have so much time. There's a lot of organizations doing good work. There's a few ways. Well, we have our own foundation-directed grants where we have application process that organizations are welcome to apply for our own grants. And that's usually one of the first touches of learning more about an organization. Bernie may often do a site visit. So I would encourage nonprofits who may be listening to check out our website, see what grant opportunities are available, and that's how we can learn more about you. Obviously, sending information to us is also helpful. And then just learning from where other individuals may be giving and, learning more about the organizations through other grants.
Yeah, that's great. And then as folks come to you and work with those community groups or other nonprofits, because that's what you're doing. Let's say, let's use the example of the cat. Mm-hmm. So they've made donations to a particular organization. And if that organization is in existence for 5 years and now maybe the person who spearheaded it has passed on or gone out of the area, and I have set up some kind of a grant through the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation to fund animal rights, you also are familiar enough in the community that if the one organization that we originally identified is no longer there, you will help find a new organization?
Oh, yeah. So
long way to get to what I was trying to say.
Sorry. Every grant that we write a check for, we'll perform what we call due diligence. So we'll be making sure that the organization still exists. Mm-hmm. They're in good standing with the IRS. That's actually quite important. We'll read their filings. Our CFO, Tricia Higgins, is former nonprofit auditor. So she's very good with reading financials and filings and understanding if there's conflicts of interest and different things that maybe be hard for a donor to spend a lot of time on. So anyways, we perform all of that upfront due diligence when we make grants. And if we identify issues or if the organization's no longer around, we do alert the donor and try to find an alternative.
Well, one of the things I realize is some folks will want to work with a foundation maybe for some ongoing giving or even legacy giving, like beyond my time. Mm-hmm. That's where that would be really important as well. And that community knowledge, right?
Especially if the donor is no longer here, we act in their place. So if you name a nonprofit as a recipient of an annual grant and that nonprofit is no longer available to receive grants, then the Community Foundation actually has a special legal power called variance power that we can act in the donor's place and make a decision to go to the next best alternative. We don't have to go through the courts and change legal documentation or anything. That's a power we have through our Board of Governors making, of course, a fiduciary decision. So that's something that we can certainly act in the donor's place. It's not just the grant that's gone and forgotten.
You know, I have to tell you, I've worked in estate planning for a very long time, and quite often we see in documents where the person has named a specific charity and that specific charity no longer exists or has evolved into some other organization. And sometimes those organizations don't have the original charitable intent that donor really wanted. And it can cause a lot of confusion. that's where I started seeing the real power mm-hmm. in the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation, and welcomed that first meeting we had with Bernie where he came in and talked about it, because I think clients needed an alternative to making specific gifts to specific organizations that could change over time. So I think there's a lot of power in that.
Right.
Folks, we are talking with Erica Riddle Petrozelli from the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. We're talking about what the foundation is, how it works, options that folks have, and we'll talk about some of the ways to give donations, charitable donations, when we come back, as well as what's going on with the 50th anniversary this year. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Erica Riddle, Petrozelli, and myself discuss the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation and all that it does here in our community and the evolution from when it started 50 years ago. They have lots of activities and interesting programs that they will be talking about this year. Erica, before we went to break, I was just mentioning, you know, when the light bulb went off for me, realizing that this was a true option for folks in their estate documents where they may name a specific charity. I also find that some people, if they want to be charitably inclined and they also have children, where I might talk, what I might propose to them is, instead of giving specific dollars to the charity, maybe they could give IRAs, because IRAs are taxable accounts. So there are different options that people can have in their charitable giving. It could be lifetime. It can be after they pass away. It could be through their will. It could be through beneficiary designations. And I feel that lawyers have a real opportunity to talk to clients about this, but financial advisors do as well. Mm-hmm. So how do they get the information that they might need to share with their clients?
Well, part of my role as Director of Donor Services is to work with a donor's team. So the team of advisors, so the attorneys, the tax accountants, the wealth managers, as you were just saying, and to sort out the most effective way to make the charitable gift and what type of fund at the community foundation will meet the needs of their clients. And so having a conversation with me about charitable giving, reaching out, is something that I'm able to do on behalf of the donor. So, for example, at the year end, we received a phone call from a donor that was told, call the community foundation. Their attorney said, call the community foundation, start a donor advice fund. I was having a conversation with them, who were about to write a pretty sizable check, and said, hey, before you write that check, you might want to look at your portfolio. It's a more efficient way to give.
Yeah.
And so I worked with their wealth managers to transfer some securities over, and I knew what information to share, what type of questions to ask. And so that's part of the services that we can provide, being a tool for charitable giving.
And you're aware of some of those different options, and it's just so nice that you happen to be a CPA as well.
That
and Tricia,
is convenient.
And Tricia Higgins happens to be a CPA.
Yes.
And Tricia is part of our estate planning council,
mm-hmm.
and has served on the board for some years. And you are now a member of our estate planning council as well.
Right.
So you are plugged into the various strategies that can be used.
Yeah. And especially in 2017, where the tax reform is such a hot issue. There's going to be changing regulation. Everyone's trying to figure out. And so it's part of our job to stay on top of that and to be in communication with advisors on how it's impacting charitable giving, among other things.
Well, we talked about that briefly before the show, so I want to just tap into that right now. You just made a big statement about the tax proposals and people kind of trying to navigate. And what we had talked about is this strategy of something called the qualified charitable distribution. Regular listeners have heard me talk about that before. Anyone who's over 70 and a half who has IRAs, retirement, individual retirement accounts, if you're over age 70 and a half, you have a required minimum distribution. And there's a special provision that says, hey, you folks, in lieu of taking that money out personally and paying tax on it, you could direct it to a charity. And in essence, you're taking the distribution from the IRA directly to that charity. So you tell your custodian, make the check payable, for example, to the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. And what amount can that be? Some people get confused about that when you think about required minimum distribution. Maybe my required minimum distribution is, you know, $60,000 and I want to donate $10,000. You can do that. You can do $10,000. You could do up to your required minimum distribution, up to $100,000, any amount. Typically, when we're talking about a community foundation, though, Erica, we're not talking about the $100 donations, really. We're looking at material kind of donation, but $10,000 could be something that the community foundation could accept. And I just made up that number. It could be $5,000.
But that's very true number, actually.
Right.
That is our minimum for our charitable funds.
Okay.
And so the reason to use a community foundation in the example that you're talking about with an IRA distribution is if you would like to take that distribution from your IRA and spread it out to the community over a longer period of time than just 1 year, or to a number of different organizations, and therefore you take one distribution, we can write however many checks you want. So it's a convenience factor or a timing factor.
That's great. In fact, I think an example you gave is if someone wanted to do $100,000 today, and there may be a tax reason they want to do it, meaning they may want to take $100,000 out of their IRA to manage their future required minimum distributions, or fulfill a grandparent's wish or a parent's wish, or just some kind of charitable intent they have today. But they want to do up to $100,000, and then they could direct you to do maybe $5,000 a year for 20 years or $10,000 a year for 10 years, and you'll work with them.
Exactly. And we've actually seen some donors have an interest in taking that maximum distribution and setting up an endowment, which is meant to be a perpetual vehicle, so giving for forever, essentially, to a particular organization that they truly care about. So taking the maximum, making it an endowment, and designating it for one organization.
So it could mean something like the income off of that.
Yes.
And it could start in year five or year six or whatever. And that's the beauty of this. There's lots of options that people could explore.
Right.
And why Erica and I wanted to, in particular, kind of emphasize the qualified charitable distribution in particular, and we'll talk about other ways to donate as we go through the show, is that when we talk about tax proposals that are coming through in 2017, we don't know what those are going to be necessarily. And when people have required minimum distributions, quite often they set them up to occur automatically or have a systematic distribution. You're not calling up your broker and saying, hey, take that distribution out in December. You might be taking it out monthly. You might take it all out in January. This might be the time to put the brakes on that, pause. If you don't need it for cash flow and you think you could use it for charitable giving, you might want to wait on your automatic required minimum distribution, because if you could use it and get a tax break for it, we want to see what the tax proposals are. One of the proposals is to raise the standard deduction. If they raise the standard deduction, not as many people might benefit from charitable giving. You would definitely benefit from making a contribution to a charity right out of your IRA, because that income doesn't show up on page one at all. So you want to think, people, listen, if you are someone with a required minimum distribution in 2017 and you are also charitably inclined, think about what that might mean for you. We're going to take our halfway break. If you have questions, and you can have questions about that as well, we're happy to expound upon that. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions 44 degrees under overcast skies. Tonight, cloudy, lows around 31. Thursday, sunny skies with highs around 48. Friday, rain likely with highs around 45 degrees. And Saturday, cloudy skies expected with highs in the upper 40s. The time now is 6:31 p.m. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. I have with me this evening Erica Riddle-Petrozelli, who's also a CPA and Director of Donor Services at Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. And we are talking about what the Community Foundation is about. And I know I want to make sure we talk about the 50th anniversary. So, Erica, is that going to be 10 minutes at the end? Are we going to be able to cover it? Or are we going to need more time? Because I love the details of talking about the charitable giving options.
Yeah, so. No, we can stick on that. I'm a CPA, so I'm a tax nerd too. We can stay with that.
Okay, great. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And you can talk and ask questions live on air with us or off air. Lori will write the question down and bring it into the studio. So let's play off the options of giving. So we just talked about qualified charitable distributions out of your IRA if you're 70 and a half or older. Let's talk for a minute about something you had mentioned about appreciated securities. Now, a lawyer might be working with a client writing a document or just doing regular estate planning and talking about their charitable intent, or a financial advisor might be working with a client on financial planning and their charitable giving options. So let's talk for a minute about appreciated securities. Mm-hmm. The foundation accepts those?
Yes, we do. And so they're a really valuable giving tool right now because of where the stock market is. So if it's a long-term position, so you hold the position for over 1 year and 1 day, and you're qualified for long-term gains, then you can donate that position and actually take a deduction for the full market value. So not the cost basis, so what you paid for, but the full market value. So if you paid $25 a share, and it's now $100 a share, you get the deduction for $100. And that's really a win-win for you as the donor and the charity, because the charity's getting the full position, which they will turn around and sell and liquidate to receive those proceeds. But as a donor, you receive a larger tax deduction.
Right, and you don't have to recognize the capital gains.
Right, so you don't have to sell the securities, get the capital gain tax, sometimes even higher tax, depending on your tax bracket, with the Medicare surcharge.
Right.
And then you get that's if you pay the taxes, and then you have a smaller amount to give to the charity.
Right. Mm-hmm. So appreciated securities. Now, I will mention that when we make donations of appreciated securities, long-term capital gain securities, there is a limitation to the deduction, which most people don't incur. And that is, if I'm giving cash, the IRS allows us to deduct up to 50% of our page one income. So mm-hmm. if my page one income is $100,000 and I give $50,000 of cash, I get that deduction. Mm-hmm. Generally, we don't see that. But if my page one is $100,000 and I donate $50,000 of appreciated long-term capital gain types of securities, they're going to limit me to a 30% deduction.
Yeah.
And So that's still $30,000. But the beauty of this is that if my donation exceeds my limitation, I get to carry that forward for 5 years. So don't hold back. You can give as much as you want, and if it makes sense.
Yeah, so. And you can work with your advisor to see the combination of assets that may work too. So giving both cash and securities so you can reach both maximums if that's an issue for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some people might think that's a complicated process, and maybe they're afraid to explore it. But it's quite easy, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say, especially if you're working with your advisor. And again, you know, we can help with that discussion. They should be pretty familiar. Your tax accountant particularly should be pretty familiar with how to measure and calculate what your maximum deductions are.
Right. But the transfer as well with the broker.
It's just an easy transfer. Yeah, that's really easy, actually. So we would share our account details. We have several brokerage accounts. And so we would share that account details with your financial advisor, who would use those instructions to initiate a transfer out of your portfolio directly into ours. So it's not a sale and transfer of cash. It's a sale. It's a direct transfer of the security positions, which then the foundation or really any charity would turn around and liquidate for the proceeds.
Okay. And folks could, so we've talked about qualified charitable distributions. We've talked about appreciated securities. People can give cash, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Okay. And I am not sure, does a community foundation accept other types of property? Like, what if someone wanted to donate, like, real estate? Do you accept that? I'm not aware.
We do. Okay. That does become a little bit more complicated just because of we have to explore the type of real estate, the resale of the real estate. There's a few more filings on the side of the donor and as well as the foundation or the charity. But it could be beneficial. It's something, you know, we can accept, and we can certainly have that conversation with advisors and donors about that.
But that's why it would be important then as well, if you are planning on doing any kind of charitable giving through a will, for example, to have these conversations with the foundation ahead of time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
But some people don't.
Yeah, that's true. And
are you ever surprised? Are you guys ever surprised that you were named in a will?
Yeah, I think there have been a few surprises, actually. We got a phone call earlier, or last year, actually, with it was a nice surprise, of course, for the community. But yeah, we do get surprised. But it is important to sometimes build in the correct language so we really understand your intent, because when you're not here anymore, we want to be able to stand in your shoes. And so having that conversation with you and understanding what you really care about and what you really mean, not just your legal definition in your will, but what you really want, that's the conversation we want to have.
That's a great point, Erica, and I really am glad that you said that, because that is what makes the difference of using the community foundation. Back to your point about your heart, our head. So, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
You want to fulfill their needs, yeah, etc. Now, I want to talk for a minute about anonymity. I realize, you know, sometimes people want to make contributions. They want recognition. Can we talk for a minute about when people make donations or endowments with the foundation? Talk for a minute about when you can put a name to it, or if some people don't want their name to it.
Sure. So we have a number of what I would call charitable funds that are established in the name of the donor, but that's not always the case. It can really be in the name of anybody or in a name that you can't recognize. And so therefore, that donor is not known to anybody except for foundation staff. And grants are made to the community anonymously. And so that can be really powerful if a donor is already, say, making contributions where they want recognition through a separate vehicle or directly, and then using the community foundation for some of that more special giving.
Okay. We also had a question come in from Jim in Bethlehem, and he asked, why would someone use a community foundation instead of maybe a private foundation? Now, we didn't discuss yet what a private foundation is, and there are some people who might want to set up their own private foundation. Mm-hmm. But what about using a community foundation to direct giving versus giving funds directly to charity or setting up their own private foundation? That was his question.
Yeah, so I can answer that in two parts.
Yep.
Again, the community foundation is a tool for giving. So if you want to give directly to the charity, you absolutely should. But we are a connector. So there's a number of reasons to be a connector. It could be either for tax reasons, estate reasons, as we've been talking about. It could be for timing. Again, that usually goes with taxes. It could be the advice that you want to get from us. Those are all reasons to use us as a tool rather than directly give. So we're almost serving in a matchmaker or consultant capacity. Compared to a private foundation, which is another tool for charitable giving, there's a few different reasons to use a community foundation. First, it can often be costly to set up a private foundation. Oftentimes, you need several million dollars to make it cost effective. You need to hire attorneys, you need to hire accountants, you have to make filings with the IRS, you got to wait for your judgment from the IRS, and so on. The community foundation does all of those things for its charitable funds. So the administrative burden is off of the donor. And the donor, therefore, can just focus on the causes that matter to them and where to give. And that's the power of the charitable fund versus a private foundation. Also, we are a 501c3 public charity, which has tax advantages over a private foundation. So you mentioned the higher deduction amounts for your page one income. It's 50% for cash on the public charity side. It's actually 30% on private foundation side. So when you're talking about millions of dollars, that really does make a difference.
And the same with appreciated securities. Instead of 30%, it's 20%. That's can someone who has a private foundation, if at some point they find it's just too much for them to manage and they know they would like to step away from it, can they work with the community foundation to take it over?
Right. Yes.
They would just make a contribution.
Yeah. We have many different cases of that where the private foundation either grew to a small asset size or say the family was no longer involved or no longer wanted to be burdened with the administrative duties. There is a court process to shut down the trust. If it's a trust structure, shut down the trust and then transfer the assets to a charitable vehicle, usually a donor advised fund at the community foundation. The trustee or the family could still remain involved on directing the giving to nonprofits. But again, we would be taking over the administrative investments, all that kind of back office activity.
That's interesting. So families can still stay involved. It doesn't mean that you guys take over necessarily. It's
right.
Back to that intent, following your heart. You're just helping them do it.
Yeah. I mean, you bring up a good point, Lori, that maybe we didn't get to focus on, which is giving to the foundation is not just handing over your assets and then walking away. It's a partnership. It's a philanthropic partnership. So you're there providing us with recommendations on where your charitable dollars should go, in the case of a donor advised fund, of course. And so you're still very much involved. You're either through your voice or through your intent.
So let's talk about ways the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation touches our community. Where is your footprint? Is it throughout all the community because you're working with so many different organizations? How do we see the Community Foundation in action?
We do make, last year we made $3.5 million in grants. I think $750,000 or so was from our foundation directed grants, where our board makes the decision. So you can see the Community Foundation dollars at work, throughout Northampton and Lehigh counties. We are out doing events like this, awareness events, and trying to make a difference in certain issues.
So let's go to that for a moment. So there are people who give to the foundation who have specific intent, but there might be people who give to the community foundation that says, I don't know where I want it. I do know I want to help in the community. Is that what you mean by foundation-directed grants, because someone has not earmarked where they necessarily want it to go? They just say, here, foundation, you go figure it out.
No, actually, that's still donor directed.
Okay.
So because you're still involved in that decision, there's actually a number of charitable funds by donors that said, hey, community foundation, you know it best. You decide every year where the issues are and you can allocate my dollars there. So they there is no continued involvement from the donor, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so that really gives an opportunity for us as a staff and as a board to understand the issues and address immediate needs that sometimes a donor can't predict, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 10 years from now. That's something we're trying to accomplish with our 50th anniversary as
Which
well.
Which is a perfect segue into what we're going to talk about in the last part of our session here. And then hopefully we'll have time to kind of put this all back together and give an overview of charitable giving and working with a community foundation. Folks, if you have questions, there's still plenty of time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have in the studio with me this evening Erica Riddle Petrozelli, CPA and Director of Donor Services for the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. And we have been discussing what a community foundation is, various ways of donating and contributing to the community foundation, and ways they partner with donors who are interested in having an impact right here in the Lehigh Valley in any number of ways, whether it's immediate, right now, let's do it today, or having the option of doing an endowment, having it spread out over several years, doing it with recognition or with anonymity. So many options and so much planning that really could foster conversation with your financial advisor, your financial planner, your attorney, and with the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation itself, such that we have Erica in this role to help people do that planning, whether you are an individual or if you want her to work directly with your advisors to make sure that you're getting all the advantages that are out there. And that could have different impacts depending on how you want to give, whether it's a cash gift, appreciated stock, using your required minimum distribution out of your IRA. We call that a qualified charitable distribution. Lots of different ways. One of the exciting things that the Community Foundation has going on this year is that it is their 50th anniversary. Erica, can you tell us more about that? But I also want to make sure we talk about your website, because your website has tons of great information. So let's talk about what's going on. Let's make sure we don't forget to mention the website.
Okay. Yeah, all of this is on the website. So it's www.lvcfoundation.org. And so for our 50th anniversary, we are doing a year-long celebration. When we sat down actually 2 years ago and said, what are we going to do for our 50th? Should we do a gala, a big event, host something? And that's not really us. We are a grant-making organization, as we've been talking about. And so we said, for our 50th, we're going to focus on grant-making. And so we've taken a portion of our foundation-directed grants, as well as our own budget, and allocated those dollars to six important issues in our community that we feel are emerging, they're important, and perhaps underfunded. And so we are allocating $50,000 to each of those six issues. The six issues are mental and behavioral health, cultural enrichment, food and housing access, environment and conservation, human trafficking, and veterans affairs.
Wonderful. And I'm going to probably want you to repeat those. Okay. But I also had a question come in from Julian. Julian, are you live with us on line one? Hi, Julian.
Hi, I think you probably answered my question. I was wondering if you do make grants with your own funds and what the criteria would be for those grants, but you've mentioned the categories that you're interested in. My particular interest is SCORE. I don't know if you're familiar with the Service Corps of Retired Executives.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, we are familiar. So the six categories I mentioned, that's just for our 50th anniversary celebration. We do have other grant opportunities on our website. If you look at the ribbon at the top, there's a section called Grants. And underneath there, it will list all of the grant opportunities and applications that are available in the time frame.
Okay, so that's interesting. So we can determine if we would qualify, and in that way you could help support our efforts, which, as you know, is to help folks start businesses or help folks who are in business improve their business. And we do that free, except the quality of our advice is not consistent with the cost.
So as long as at a minimum you're a 501c3 public charity,
yes,
then that's usually the minimum eligibility. And then when it comes to the applications, different funds will have different intentions. So just check out the website and even drop me an email and I can point you in the right direction.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank
That's
you,
very
Julian.
Helpful.
Thanks for
right.
calling in. I appreciate it. So, Erica, let's say then that folks can go on the website to look for other grant-making opportunities, but in particular, this was fun to spearhead for the 50th anniversary, particular needs in our community right now today with these criteria. So first it had to be emerging, important, and underfunded, which I think is great, and then it was for the veterans.
Yeah, so the six issues, that's how we identified them or chose them. I mean, there are lots of different issues in our community, very important ones, but perhaps that aren't receiving the same focus from other funders. So, again, it's mental and behavioral health, it's cultural enrichment, food and housing access, environment and conservation, human trafficking, veterans affairs. And what makes this grant process quite different from our others is that we're actually going to be doing an awareness campaign for these six issues. So you listening right now on the radio will probably be seeing us. You'll be seeing information about mental and behavioral health. You'll be hearing about the grants that were given. And actually, we'll be asking the public to view videos and vote on grant recipients. So tune in a few weeks, check our website, and we'll have a few videos up there of grant applications, and you'll get to learn more about these issues and how to actually give out a grant.
And so that is coming up on the website, so they have to keep visiting and coming back. And that website, again, was lvcfoundation.org.
That's right.
So lots of information about, and do you have a special name for those grants? Did we talk about that?
Oh, we didn't. How did I miss that? Our campaign.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. The campaign is called Be the Spark, and these are called Spark Grants. And so the grant is meant to fund a new program or a meaningful expansion of an existing program that is solving these issues in a collaborative way. So we're encouraging organizations to work together to find a solution. And so we're asking everyone to be the spark. So come check out the videos, Spark Change and Spark Awareness, and join us.
And when you say collaborative, so does that mean that more than one organization actually has to come together to apply for the grant?
It's encouraged that the application is involving more than one organization.
And does it have to be via a video for the application?
No, it's a paper application to start, and then we bring it down to five video applications. So okay. It'll be five grantees that are going to be highlighted on our website.
Okay. So lots of exciting things. Mm-hmm. Now, this event that I attended to kick off your 50th anniversary, the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation had come up with their own video, which was quite impressive. Now, was that private or is that on your website as well?
It's on our website. It's called Community Voices. And so we had some donors, some community relationships, some advisors wish us a happy anniversary. So check it out. It's a lot of fun to see who's coming up next.
Well, what I found interesting, the energy that I got from that kickoff, the energy from that video, and the energy from the participants, and in particular, the people at the foundation itself. When we go back to, you know, your heart, our head, I feel like even though you guys are the head in this whole scheme, I think you guys were all heart.
Oh, thanks.
And I think if we have folks in our community who are either the recipients of all the good that our donors do or the recipients of what the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation does, they'll see that you guys are also the heart of all of this, too, because you really feel it, and I think it's great.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and thanks for coming to our kickoff event, too. It was a special night for us. We gave out a kickoff grant to the city of Bethlehem for their 275th anniversary legacy gift, which is the war memorial going up along the river. And so that was important for us to give back to our roots and from where we were born.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And is there information about that in particular, either on the City of Bethlehem's website or on your website? Because some folks who are listening tonight might think that's important, this war memorial, you said?
Yeah, so it was for Revolutionary War soldiers who had passed here in the hospitals. And so we're actually building a more significant City of Bethlehem's building a more significant memorial to those soldiers. And so there's definitely information on Bethlehem's website. I believe there's a dedicated 275th anniversary webpage that you can read all about it. And I know it's an important initiative for them, and they can use some help.
Wonderful. Last thoughts. We have a couple minutes. What would you like to make sure our listeners take away from tonight's show and your ongoing efforts in the community?
Yeah, it's an exciting year for us. So I encourage you to definitely check out our website, check back, watch our application videos for our 650th anniversary Spark issues, and give us a call if you have any questions on charitable giving. There's a lot of pride and of the Northampton and Lehigh counties, and a lot of pride in the Lehigh Valley. And so it's important to support the place you live and love.
And so that could be folks who want to make charitable contributions, but also for those organizations or people who are involved in nonprofits who may benefit from grants mm-hmm. that you award through your donors' efforts.
Yes, exactly.
Et cetera. So information is found on your website. Mention mm-hmm. the name again.
www.lvcfoundation.org.
Okay, and information on giving is there as well, mm-hmm. various ways that people can give, and they can contact you through the website. You had mentioned that Julian, if he wanted more information, could email you.
Yeah.
Can they find your information
yes, so
on
I'm
that
there.
Website?
Yeah, we are all there, phone numbers and emails. There's giving information. There's a list of all of our existing funds, so you can check out, say, some of your neighbors or friends who are already giving through the foundation, and there's grant opportunities as well.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for
Thank
coming
you.
On. I really appreciate it. Folks, remember that charitable planning can be done any time of year. It doesn't have to be in December like so many people think. In fact, if you're a regular listener of the show, you know we say at the end of every show, be proactive, not reactive. And being proactive might be planning your charitable contributions right now, this year, early January, February, especially when we're not sure what's happening with proposed taxes. So you may benefit from something such as a qualified charitable distribution if you're 70 and a half or older. You may benefit from donating appreciated securities, and cash always works. Thank you so much, Erica, for being here. I want to thank our listeners, thank our callers, and also want to thank Jeff for being here and Lori Catanzaro for taking those questions. Next week, I have attorney James Ruggiero to discuss the Pennsylvania Power of Attorney changes and we will talk about why that is so important for you. We want to remind you, estate planning documents, as we've discussed tonight with charitable giving, are always important to review, and less than 50% of the people, or about 50% of the people, don't have estate planning documents. So please update yours and refresh, and tune in and join us next week when we discuss powers of attorney. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley with translators at 93.9 Eastern Phillipsburg, 93.7 Fogelsville, Trexlertown, and once again on the web at WDIY.org. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 44 degrees under overcast skies. Tonight, cloudy with lows around 31. Thursday, sunny skies with highs around 48 degrees. Please stay tuned for In the Tradition with your host, Tom Druckenmiller, following headline news up next. The time is 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. President Obama is rejecting the idea that race relations got worse during his presidency. In his final press conference as president, Obama, the first African-American president, says when people are fed information that encourages some of their worst instincts, they tend to fall back into some of the old racial fears and divisions and stereotypes. But he says children seem to have an easier time surmounting that.
I think kids are smarter about it. They're more tolerant. They are more inclusive by instinct than we are. And hopefully my presidency maybe helped that along a little bit.
Obama also defended his decision to commute Army Private Chelsea Manning's sentence. She was serving a 35-year sentence for leaking classified